Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I will never agree with anybody disrespecting the flag.
You big dummy.
Drew Brees, you're a sucker. You're going to be a sucker.
I looked up to you. You're somebody who I had a great deal of respect for. But sometimes you should shut the f*** up.
Dale Arnold.
Baseball is still at a complete impasse right now.
Owners are backed into a corner right now.
The problem is I can't play 100 games and pay you full salary.
Rich Keefe.
All right, it's that time of the week. A little toe drag swag.
Dale and Keefe with Wiggy.
Drew Brees.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Well, Drew Brees had himself a not even 24 hours yet. This is Dale and Keefe. No Dale today. It is Keefe and Wiggy once again. Jermaine, how are you, sir?
I am good. Did I tell you Drew Brees was going to get dragged, man? They were going to come for him.
So his interview yesterday with Yahoo Finance came out during our show. So we had the Drew Brees comments, but the reaction to it didn't really materialize until after we were off the air. We read a few tweets. Michael Thomas had a tweet. Mm-hmm. I think was it Alvin Kamara had a tweet. A few other teammates kind of had their tweets about it. But the videos of so many,
yep,
and even more tweets, and everybody came out like late afternoon, night, and kind of never really stopped. And then we eventually, and I think we all predicted this as well, we got a Drew Brees apology on his Instagram. Yeah, a little bit of that.
An apology that I don't look as an apology.
So before we get into that, because I'll read some of it and then you can tell me why. Let's just, and I know people have probably heard him by now, but just so we're not putting words in his mouth, let's just play a part of what got everybody so fired up with Drew Brees when he was doing his interview yesterday.
Well, I will never agree with anybody disrespecting the flag of the United States of America or our country. Let me just tell you what I see or what I feel when the national anthem is played and when I look at the flag of the United States. I envision my two grandfathers who fought for this country during World War II, one in the Army and one in the Marine Corps, both risking their lives to protect our country and to try to make our country and this world a better place.
So
let's break that down, right? Because now there are all these people out there go, well, his intent wasn't this and his intent wasn't that. The first statement that he makes, he says, I will never agree with anybody who disrespects the flag.
The question was basically, you know, this fall, based on everything that's going on right now, do you expect more people to be kneeling again?
Bingo.
And so he is associating kneeling with disrespecting the flag.
Right.
I thought most of us had sort of gotten past that.
Right.
Like in 2016-17, that was such a hot button issue. Mm-hmm. And I think eventually more and more people kind of came around on that were like, okay, this is not what this is about.
Bingo.
This is not. And like, it almost sounds like Drew Brees and others, he's not alone.
Right.
And there'll be people today defending him. But it sounds like in his world, what these people are doing is during the anthem, they run out onto the 50-yard line, they burn the flag, and then they put it out with their urine.
Right.
Like, that's kind of how he's describing it. It's like,
right,
no, they're kneeling. They're not screaming.
Mm-hmm.
They're not, like, chanting during it. They're just grabbing a knee. They're just trying to bring awareness to racial injustice and police brutality. That was one of the big ones with Colin Kaepernick.
Right, that was
time.
One of the issues, but it was a lot of issues that Cap was talking about. Right. Cap was talking about, and if you go back and you hear him and when he spoke in the locker room, his thing was the inequality between black and white people, and this country is supposed to be a country that we live on, is that, you know, hey, we treat everybody the same, everybody's equal, and Cap was saying, well, that's not the case for black people, and this is how we feel, right? So that was his message, how, yeah. You know, America does not treat black people the same way. And that's kind of what it all is for people, you know, rather than trying to, you know, get so deep and do a deep dive into this. It's about America doesn't treat black and white people the same.
Right. And I think, at least to me, where Breeze went wrong was if he feels strongly about standing, that's great. You should stand. And if you think about your grandfathers who were in World War II and what they sacrificed, if that's your association with it, that's great. I don't think anybody should stop him. Nobody's screaming at Drew Brees like, why don't you take a knee?
Right.
And if you're doing that, then I think you're wrong also.
But the one
if
thing,
he wants to stand and do it, let him.
But the one thing he then says again when he starts to talk about himself,
yes.
Is he then personalizes, okay, here's how I feel about America, and then you should follow in line because
that's how you should feel too.
This is my grandparents died for this or they fought for this country.
Right.
And look at all the things that they were able to do, not taking into consideration what about all the his teammates or people that live in New Orleans that had grandparents that fought in World War II that came back in America, didn't treat them the same way based on the color of their skin. He completely, because that's the biggest issue here, he completely overlooks that and goes, well, look at what this country, this is what I see when I hear the national anthem. This is what this country did for me, my grandparents, my experience, this, that, and the other. But what about the guy standing next to you when his grandparents or great-grandparents were hung from a tree when they returned from the military?
Yeah, it's like he's so distracted, doesn't want to talk about the issues that Kaepernick and others want to talk about, including his former and now current teammate Malcolm Jenkins, who we'll get to coming up as well. He was very emotional in response to this. But yeah, it's just so narrow-minded, and it's pretty ignorant what Breeze was saying. Again, I'm not sitting here, I don't think he is an out-and-out racist. I'm not accusing him of that.
Nobody's ever said that. The thing is, and Drew Brees, right? We give him a lot of respect. He does a lot of things for New Orleans. He does a lot of things for, you know, I know he's down here when we had him on here air at the Greg Hill Show for the haircuts and cancer and stuff. He does a lot of great things. But I think the problem is when it comes to this situation, he's closed-minded, maybe he doesn't understand that he's got blinders on, but he should be more sympathetic for, even if you don't agree with something, you should still be able to feel somebody's pain for what they say they're dealing with.
And it just feels like, where has he been in the last week? Like, forget him being 41, right? Forget the fact that, you know, he has had black teammates, you know, going back probably since like high school, obviously college, the pros, like not forget that part of it. This week, and just listening to what everybody else has been saying, I think that's been one of the changes, Wiggy, this week, is that I think some of the shift has been white people like myself who are not racist, but then also have to stay, all right, well, maybe that's not even good enough. Like, maybe right there needs to be another step forward and being able to, you know, have this dialogue to understand, you know, the privileges that we have versus, you know, the privileges that people do not have, like that. And it's like Breeze checked out and like wasn't paying attention to what was going on. And so in the aftermath of all that, I shouldn't even say aftermath, it's still ongoing, and it's going to be going on for a long time. But for him to sit there and being asked about the flag, and he's like, I will never agree with anyone who disrespects the flag. I also feel like, again, I'm somebody who stands during the anthem, but somebody who takes a knee, I really don't look at it as this wild show of disrespect.
Right. And I don't either. I know Curtis kept pushing me on it because I said, you know, me personally, I probably wouldn't do it, right? Because I do have, you know, family that served in the military, and I just look at it in a different way. But I don't think that people who do it, it's disrespectful. I just think maybe there's another way that person can go about doing it. But if they want to do it, then I can relate. I can relate because, and for the most part, the people that were nailing in the beginning were black people, right? And they were doing it because they felt like America treated them differently. And I understand that. And that's the biggest thing here. That's why we are in this position right now. America treats black people differently. And Greg and I were talking about this off air, and you had just brought it up, is when white people go, when they finally realize and go, okay, and this is why I think Patrice Bergeron hit the nail right on the head.
Oh, God, he was great.
When they go, I understand that I have privilege. I might not have realized it. Maybe I went through life and not kind of even thought about it. But during all this time, I understand that as a white person, I'm looked at differently than a black person. And regardless of socioeconomic income or mm-hmm. status that we're at, if you're a poor white person and you're a poor black person, you still have that white privilege because of the color of your skin. And I think it's when you realize that and you go, okay, I can understand why black people are upset, and I understand it just might have dawned on me, but I do see the privilege I have. That's when we can now have a real conversation like, okay, there's an issue here. But when you're just like, nah, I don't agree with anybody who disrespects the flag, your views are not changing.
Well, you know, and I just to go back to, you mentioned Patrice Bergeron, I thought it was a great statement, mm-hmm. and it was something that over the last few days we've kind of discussed it on the air too. Like, all right, what do you do? Like, some people are advocating for you to shut up and listen. Others are advocating for you to use your voice. And it's like, man, how do you toe that line? Like, you're not going to please everybody. And then here comes Patrice Bergeron. Mm-hmm. Let me just read it, just for those who have missed it. And it was released on the Bruins Twitter account and probably some other places. But he said, this is from Bergeron. As many of you know, I don't have social media. Right or wrong, I've often tried to stay away from making my opinions public. As hockey players, we have a tendency to do our business while staying quiet, without wanting to make too much noise. It is in our culture. But surrounding the murder of George Floyd and the protests that followed, it made me realize that by not speaking up on the matter and not using my voice as a professional athlete, it's in fact allowing racism to fester and continue. Silence is not an option for me anymore. I realize that I will never truly understand the fear, pain, and suffering the black community has endured. As a white man, I have always tried to live by respect and equality, but I also acknowledge my privileges. I am disappointed in myself that it took this long for me to truly open my eyes. Seeing all this pain truly breaks my heart and forces me to seek answers. Today and going forward, I want to listen, educate myself, and stand up for the black community. We cannot change the past, but we certainly can change the future. It is time to truly acknowledge this cry for help. It needs to be more than a simple Instagram post. Let's take real actions with an open heart and compassion. I am determined to be an ally, continue to grow myself, and raise my children to be anti-racist. In addition to my words, my family and I are donating $25,000 to the Boston branch of the NAACP and $25,000 to this group in Quebec. I will not be quiet anymore. With love, respect, and the most sincere humility, Patrice Bergeron.
Right.
Nailed it.
And the thing that really stood out is when he said, I'm understanding the white privilege that I have, and I need to listen and understand what black people are going through. So it's almost like he's realizing that now, like, okay, I've had this privilege, but I've never really thought about it, right? Because, you know, you're not really thinking about it. It's something that, you know, it's like a mole on the back of your leg. It's there, but you don't really know it's there. and then he starts to realize, okay, I understand that I've had this, but I'll never understand what they're going through, but I want to be able to have some type of dialogue and learn more and understand more and see that, you know, the white privilege that I have, it's not something that, you know, that's right, but it's something that is there. And I think that's the one thing that stood out for me when he said it. It was like, you know, and I could say, all right, man, see, that's where real change happens, is when you start to see, you know, and I've talked about this before, not just white people, but white celebrities start talking about the privilege that they have and how, you know, it's helped them throughout life and the struggles that black people have to deal with because they don't get the same type of privilege.
And I think important, too, is he's talking about how he's going to raise his children. And I think that's, you know, for some people, you know, kind of an obvious thing. But if you really, truly do it that way, that's the best chance for change, so, is that next generation to be better than this generation.
So let me ask you something. when you hear Patrice Bergeron, him saying that, and then you see Drew Brees' statement, do you think Drew Brees sits there and goes, oh, I know that white privilege is a real thing, or is he just like, you know, America's a great country, we all have the same type of opportunity to make it?
Yeah, that's kind of the sense I get with Brees. So speaking of that, we will read you his apology on Instagram, and Wiggy will tell you whether or not he accepts Drew Brees' apology. We will do that coming up. It's Dale and Keith. No Dale today. Wiggy's in the house. Sports Radio WEEI.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Back to Dale and Keith with Wiggy.
I said the lights get too bright, the booty holes get too tight
on WEEI.
That's what it is.
Everyone is looking back now at Kaepernick's protests from a few years ago, and obviously they were always about police brutality, and now it's coming back to the fore, and a lot of people expect that we will see players kneeling again. What is your responsibility as a leader in times like this for the rest of your teammates and players in the league?
I will never agree with anybody disrespecting the flag of the United States of America or our country.
There you go. That was Drew Brees yesterday. This is Dale and Keith. No Dale today. Wiggy is here. And so, no surprise. So, again, that interview came out, I don't know when he did it, but it came out yesterday. And we talked about it on the air. We read some of the responses on Twitter, but then the responses really
came. I knew it was coming.
And you called it. You were 100% right.
Mm-mm.
And one of the things I called was the apology.
Yes.
Now, you can agree or disagree with the apology, which we'll get to, but he had one. He went on Instagram. It seems like Twitter's where people get in trouble, and then Instagram is where they apologize. But anyway,
it's a different side. It's I don't know.
But so first of all, he uses a photo of a black hand and a white hand, sort of like shaking hands or like kind of embracing,
kind of like from the original Predator with Kyle Weathers and Arnold Schwarzenegger.
He should have just used that one. That one's way more famous.
Yeah, that one's right. It's classic.
And John, you said, what is this photo when you go to
so,
look this
so June up? Lee actually put this on Twitter. Yeah. This is from like the Adobe stock image catalog, and it's titled, hold on, let me get the, I don't want to mess up exactly what the wording is.
And I was like, oh my goodness.
The photo Drew Brees chose is a stock photo labeled Handshake Against Racism.
All right. Okay. Well, hey. Good find, Drew. So
It's over.
Here's his apology. So this is it. I'll read the whole thing here. Or if you want every paragraph, you can jump in, Wiggy, and say whether or not if this is going well for him. He says, quote, I would like to apologize to my friends, teammates, the city of New Orleans, the black community, NFL community, and anyone I hurt with my comments yesterday. In speaking with some of you, it breaks my heart to know the pain I have caused.
All right, right there. So far, so good.
Not bad.
Okay.
Yeah, pretty good.
Okay.
Apologizing to everybody. Mm-hmm. It breaks his heart's broken. He spoke. How do you not feel bad for a guy's heart's broken?
He's spoken with people, and now he's starting to realize, okay, how painful my words were.
He caused pain. Mm-hmm. In an attempt to talk about respect, unity, and solidarity centered around the American flag and the national anthem, I made comments that were insensitive and completely missed the mark on the issues we are facing right now as a country. They lacked awareness and any type of compassion or empathy. Instead, those words have become divisive and hurtful and have misled people into believing that somehow I am an enemy. This could not be further from the truth and is not an accurate reflection of my heart or my character. This is where I stand.
Okay. All right. So that's pretty good. He understands how he might have misinterpreted everything and the nailing and the national anthem and the disrespect of the flag. So, okay, yep. So far, so good.
I like that one. This is where he stands. I stand with the black community in the fight against systemic racial injustice and police brutality and support the creation of real policy change that will make a difference.
Okay. Good.
I condemn the years of oppression that have taken place throughout our black communities and still exist today.
All right. So he's acknowledging that there's still some stuff going on.
Yep. I acknowledge that we as Americans, including myself, have not done enough to fight for that equality or to truly understand the struggles and plight of the black community.
Okay.
I like that.
Yeah.
I recognize that I am part of the solution and can be a leader for the black community in this movement.
Okay, I'm with you on that one. I can kind of follow you a little bit.
Okay. I will never know what it's like to be a black man or raise black children in America, but I will work every day to put myself in those shoes and fight for what is right.
Okay, so now, all right, so you're going to try to walk my shoes a little bit and understand what I'm dealing with. All right.
I never really know. I think that's a good one. That's a good one. I've been saying that myself. I have always, all caps with always, been an ally, never an enemy.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm rocking with you so far.
I am sick about the way my comments were perceived yesterday, but I take full responsibility and accountability. I recognize that I should do less talking and more listening, and when the black community is talking about their pain, we all need to listen. For that, I am very sorry, and I ask your forgiveness.
Then I highlighted. Can you read that one line? I am sick.
I am sick about the way my comments were perceived yesterday.
There you go.
You got a
so close. All that for nothing. You were running a good race until you got to the end of the finish line and go, wait a second, I'm in first place here, and then decide to give everybody the finger as you cross the finish line.
He goes the turn to see if anybody's chasing him, and then does not win that one.
Yeah, and that's where this whole apology then goes out the window, because the only reason why he's apologizing is because now he's getting all the backlash, and he realizes that people don't understand what they took his comments the wrong way. He wasn't and how they were perceived. His beliefs don't change.
I'm the king of that. Every time I get in an argument with my wife, I'm like, well, I'm sorry you feel that way.
Right.
It's like, wait a minute, are you sorry? No, I'm sorry that you feel. I'm sorry that you're feeling that way.
Right.
It's got nothing to do with me. I'm sorry that my comments were perceived the way my comments were perceived yesterday.
Right. Oh, so close.
It's one thing if even these comments, like, you know how everybody gets in trouble for comments that they made like 10 years ago or 5 years ago or whatever. Like, if Drew Brees made these comments 3 or 4 years ago and, you know, maybe he would have gotten some crap for it by teammates then or whatever. But I think, you know, people would have moved on to the next thing. And there's going to be another thing tomorrow. Drew Brees won't be in the center of attention tomorrow because somebody else will say something stupid, or that's just how it works. But I just couldn't believe the timing of it. It's not like somebody went back and dug this up and was like, oh, man, imagine if Drew Brees said this now. It's like, no, he did say it now.
Well,
and it's like, where is he living right now? Is he not paying attention?
Right.
What's going on?
And I think you've said that, right? It's never been about disrespecting the flag, right? So maybe people initially thought that and were a little bit upset. And then as they kind of learned and got more information, it was like, all right, it's not about that, right? And so I think we got to the point where I thought we were at the point where it was, you know, even if you didn't agree with people nailing, you understood why they were nailing, right? You knew it wasn't about the disrespect of America. Right.
Yeah,
and so 100%. I thought we were at that point, but it clearly shows that people, you know, and Drew Brees is, you know, that person. And there's a lot of people who then agree with him. You know, Curtis and I, you know, had a little back and forth in the crossover. You know, I seen Clay Travis, you know, retweet a comment about it. There are a lot of people that then will say, oh, Drew Brees, people are then taking what he said and they're taking it out of context. He didn't mean it that way. Nobody ever said Drew Brees was a bad guy. He's done a lot for New Orleans. Matter of fact, I think he donated $5 million for the coronavirus, one of the COVID-19.
Yeah, he did. He donated a ton of money. Yeah. He has had some weird things along the way. Like, he really has. Like, he was, what was that pyramid scheme thing that he was involved in?
I don't know that one.
And then he was speaking with... he was like supporting a group that is really like anti-LGBTQ, and so
he also didn't want Gitmo to be closed.
Oh, he didn't want, you know, right? But I mean,
he's got a handful.
He's done things right. So I'm not saying Drew Brees is a bad guy. What I'm saying is, I think in this situation, you would think he'd be more sympathetic, or you think he'd understand, or you would think he could, be a little bit more compassionate. I think that was the thing. The difference between Patrice Bergeron is you see the compassion that he has in his statement.
So do you accept Drew Brees' apology?
Nah, he can keep that one, man. He had me till the finish line, and then it's like, all right, you're not really.
It. Yeah, keep it.
You can
actually,
keep that one.
Do me a favor, turn it sideways. Shine it up real nice, turn it sideways.
Like The Rock
back
says.
Up your bum.
But because he's not really, his beliefs are not changing. He's still, and he said it. If you kneel during the national anthem, that's disrespect, and I don't agree with you, and basically we can't have a conversation.
All right. We could try to get some of your phone calls here on this. We're not going to do 4 hours on this. I mean, it's going to be a big topic today, but we are going to do some other things as well. 617-779-7937. The NBA, of course, is working its way back. Because we did some Len Bias discussion yesterday after ESPN did their documentary and played some of his old games on Tuesday night. We're gonna do, Wiggy and I, our top five Boston sports what ifs. We're gonna do that in the 12 o'clock hour. A lot
I
of
like
good ones.
My,
to
I like
from.
My top five. Pretty good.
I got five good ones.
I know both of yours, and Wiggy's number five should be number one on both your lists, and it's not on Keith's list. That's all I should say.
Okay. Oh, Babe Ruth.
Yes.
Is it Babe Ruth?
I think it is.
No, it's Algie Crumpler.
And Nate Burleson from the NFL Network will join us coming up at 1:15. But we'll get to your phone calls, and we'll also hear from some of the current and former NFL players that responded to Drew Brees from yesterday, including Malcolm Jenkins and Ed Reed. We'll do that next year on Dale and Keith.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Dale and Keith with Jermaine Wiggins.
Stand by.
On WEEI.
Our communities are under siege, and we need help. And what you're telling us is, don't ask for help that way. Ask for a different way. I can't listen to it when you ask that way. We're done asking, Drew. And people who share your sentiments, who express those, and push them throughout the world, the airways, are the problem. And it's unfortunate because I considered you a friend. I looked up to you. You're somebody who I had a great deal of respect for. But sometimes you should shut the f*** up.
That's Malcolm Jenkins, who was a teammate of Drew Brees, then left and went to Philadelphia, and now has re-signed with the Saints. So he is a teammate once again with Drew Brees. And that was one of the more emotional responses yesterday to Brees, especially a guy that knows him, not just a guy that's, you know, played against him, right? Which I think might be a little bit different. Like, he even said, I thought we were friends. And so I'm sure that conversation, if they haven't had it yet, is going to be pretty intense. I know there was a report going out there, Wiggy, that the Saints have a meeting set up, but apparently it was one that was set up before. They have like a virtual meeting where they're trying to get like most of the team together. But they were saying, no, that was already on the books. That wasn't like in response to Drew Brees. But What do you think of what Malcolm Jenkins had to say?
Yeah, I think that meeting took place last night. That's what John's telling me, that virtual meeting. So, yeah. So hey, maybe that was one of the reasons why he then had the apology, you know, meeting
Could
with some of the guys or whatnot. But, you know, when you think about and see, I think the biggest thing, and this is what I think people like Curtis, when we were going back and forth, I think, you know, a lot of the callers that I heard when I was driving in, this is what they're missing, right? It's instantly like, oh, because you're kneeling, you're disrespecting the national anthem. Okay, maybe in your mind, if they are disrespecting the national anthem, I can understand that, right? But then you should be able to say, well, I don't agree with it, but I understand maybe why you're doing it, right? You have arguments all the time with people, and you go, you know what? We'll agree to disagree here. I don't agree with what your opinion is, but I kind of can understand why you're making those points, right? And, like, Drew Brees doesn't come off in that way. His thing, if he says, you know, if his thing was, hey, I don't agree with people. I mean, I don't, you know, like that people kneel during the national anthem. I think it's disrespectful because I've had grandparents that served in the military and this, that, and the other. But I do understand why guys are doing it. And it is their right to do it because the reason why my grandfather and other, you know, military service men and women, black and white, fought in this country is so we have the right to protest, we have the right to freedom of speech, we have the right to, you know, do things of that nature, right?
The Arian Foster interview with pardon my take, and we played that a lot yesterday, but like when he's talking about, you know, family trees and ancestors and things like that, I mean, here Drew Brees comes from one perspective, and that's great. Both grandfathers were in World War II, same for me. Like I think a lot of people that are around this age, it seems like everybody at that age that was involved in World War II or in Korea or whatever. But Arian Foster's talking about, like, if you really want to trace it back, it's like Foster is a slave owner's name. Right. So you couldn't have two different kind of experiences. And so for you to associate the flag and the anthem with one thing, that's great. Good for you. No one's telling you that you shouldn't feel that way.
Mm-hmm. But you should understand the other side.
But shouldn't you? Yes,
you should understand that. I know that my grandparents and they fought and what they came back to. But I do also know what black people who fought in World War II, what they came back to. Like, you should be able to understand that there's been enough, you know, throughout history to show you the struggles that black people had to deal with. You know, what was World War II? In the 40s or something like that?
World War II?
Yeah, wasn't it like around the 40s or something like that? So you know there's enough in the history books to show you what black people were dealing with in 1940s, 1950s, 1960s, 1970s, 1980s, 90s, for you to understand and go, okay, I know my grandparents came back to one thing, and Malcolm Jenkins, your grandparents came back to a whole different thing just because of the color of their skin.
Right. All right, let's go to the phones as promised here. Let's go to David in the car. He joins us next here on Dale and Keefe with Wiggy. What's up, David?
Rich, Wiggy, what's good, guys?
What up? How you doing?
All right, man. All right. Hey, listen. I've done a 180 from the way I have ever felt about Colin Kaepernick and any other NFL player kneeling during the national anthem. And let me tell you real quick why. I'm a naval veteran. Mm-hmm. I was in the late 80s, early 90s. And so I always looked at it as disrespect. And it wasn't until I investigated and kind of look back and see why these NFL players are taking a knee is when I started to understand it. So every time a black person is racial profiled by a police officer, whether white or any other race, I understand now what's going on. No matter, you had a guy on yesterday on your show, Rich, and he was on the Greg Hill show today. His name is House. And today he was on, and he put it in perfect perspective. He said, Greg, a white family, mother and father and two kids, driving down the street, is not going to get pulled over and be put in the same category as me and my family that are just coming from church. Mm-hmm. And you know what? It's been going on for so many years, and I'm going to end with this because I know you got a lot of callers. The way this gets turned around, and if it ever could get turned around, It has to start with the people in the police community, the people in the government, the people in the military community, and I'm talking the people on the high up, all the way to President Trump, and they need to turn this around there before it starts getting turned around. Because, Wiggy, I hear you when you say you got to worry about your kids getting pulled over and something happened to them.
Right,
and
right.
I just want to, you know, I just want to thank you, you guys, and Patrice Bergeron, he couldn't put it.
Oh, perfect.
Any better, Rich.
No, you couldn't.
Because I wish I had a copy. I wish I had a copy of what he did.
No, it was great,
I had
David.
A copy and they keep it in. Yeah.
Thanks for the call so much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, just go to social media, David. You can find a copy.
Yeah, the Bruins. I know it's on the Bruins Twitter account. You can print that bad boy out and hang it up. I didn't think there was there would be a perfect thing to say. I thought there would always be, no matter what anybody said, you'd be able to poke holes in it.
Right.
But then I read what Bergeron said. I'm like, nope, that was it. That's what we were looking for. But that's a great example.
And that's what Evander
came. Call, David.
But that's
how about
what
David though, Wiggy? Switch it, change it. Right. Like he said when he was first watching Kaepernick, he was like, "What the hell is he doing?"
Right.
I don't respect this. But he changed.
Thought
people were kind of dug in on this situation, right, and it was going to be really hard to break through to people. But David's an example of somebody who has changed his opinion.
Right. And the reason why he said he changed is because once he started to kind of learn what the real cause was on why they were nailing, he could then understand. And then when he starts to hear more and more black people, you know, he talked about House who called in about the way that it's the way that they get profiled. It's the way that they, you know, walk into a store and then get looked at. It's the way that they get treated just by, you know, not just, you know, by law enforcement, by, you know, whether it's the criminal justice system, whether it's, you know, just people in the neighborhood. Right. Mm-hmm. It's so. They, I think, you know, then you start to understand, like, wow, I don't have to deal with those things. Like, I don't have to deal with driving down the street with my, you know, wife and kids and worry about getting pulled over because of the color of my skin. I don't have to worry about walking into a store and people profiling me and that kind of thing. So I think that's what you're starting to see, and people hopefully are starting to understand that. And then you have a statement like Patrice Bergeron and, you know, saying, yeah, wow, I didn't realize that, and I think that's what's making people change a little bit.
All right, let's go to Walter in North Brookfield. What's going on, Walter?
Hey, guys. First of all, I just want to give you a quick background on me real fast. I'm a Caucasian. I'm married to a dark-skinned African-American woman with an African-American 12-year-old, and we just recently had a light-skinned, beautiful baby girl 4 weeks ago.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. First of all, Biggie, you are killing it, man. You are repping this stuff, and you're really, really laying it down and making it so people cannot argue your points. I admire you for that, and I want to give you much respect.
Thank you.
My point is, as a Caucasian, I never worry about the police. When I'm by myself, I don't care. They pull me over, whatever. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
But when my wife and daughter's in the car, they are freaked out. They're from Baltimore, Maryland. They've been through things. Mm-hmm. I get pulled over for a ticket, man. It's a mess. But on a positive note, because everybody condemned the protest. Last night we had a protest in North Brookfield. My wife cried, and she was never felt more supported by the whites, the blacks, the mixed, everybody came out. And she now feels accepted in a town that for 5 years we lived there and never felt respected or accepted.
Right.
And that's the power of these protests on one note. And on another note, and I know I'm trying to be quick because I don't want to take up no else's time, but We can not we. I'm not. I know I did.
I'm kind of losing.
Yeah,
it.
We're losing
the call.
There,
but thanks so much for the phone call, right, Walter. I appreciate it. Let's get Michael in here as well. Michael's in the truck. He joins us next. What's up, Michael?
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. First of all, I'm totally disgusted at what happened to that gentleman. The cop, in my eyes, it should be an eye for an eye. That cop should be hung. But my problem I have is with Jermaine.
Yeah.
And I just want you to explain to me one thing.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in Dorchester. I had nothing. I worked myself up to a nice position.
Right.
I want you to explain to me what this white privilege stuff is.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Well, I'll explain it the best way I could possibly explain it, right? And
okay,
as simple,
yep,
as possible. It's just the view that the world has when they look at white people and black people. When they look at black people, there is this negative view that they have of, why are you here? Do I need to follow you around the store? what are you doing in this neighborhood? What are you doing in this building? I don't want to ride on the elevator with you. I want to clench my purse a little bit tighter. That's the difference. Whereas a white person, regardless of wealth or how poor they may be, that's something that they don't have to deal with. You don't have to deal with. And granted, I heard you say you grew up dirt poor, but you didn't have to deal with white people looking at you funny, afraid that you were going to do something, clenching their purse, not wanting to get on the elevator, asking, what are you doing in this building? Do you live in this neighborhood? That, I think, is what white privilege is.
All right, I'm going to give you now, the way you explained it, I agree with you 100%. First, I wasn't going to listen to EEI ever again because of you.
Wow.
But you just explained to me.
How about that?
And like I
we're
said,
change
I've
here.
Never experienced.
Right.
What's that?
I said we're making great change.
Yeah, we're making change.
Great progress. I mean,
but go ahead, what
that's
you were saying. You never experienced what?
No, I've never experienced any of that. Listen, a few times, those cops out there have used me as a kickball.
Right.
I deal with it.
Right.
You know, but
that's all I'm trying to see. It's a privilege that you get, and it's not something that you go about life saying, okay, not everybody goes about life saying, okay, I'm going to utilize this privilege. And a lot of people don't even realize, like Michael, didn't even realize they had it or what it really means, right?
Right.
And
right.
So that's what it is. You know, it's just the way that we're looked at and the way that you're looked at. And by having, you know, by being white, you have that privilege and you're not viewed in a negative way.
All right, that's an hour on Drew Brees. We'll get back to him, but let's change it up a little bit when we get back. Mm-hmm. Our guy Hannibal on WEEI.com wrote an article about how this is Bill Belichick's kind of team, and he gives a bunch of examples why. We'll ask Wiggy if he agrees with him. Plus, we have our NFL MVP whisperer, Chris Scheim, is going to help us out because there is odds for
that's
every-
right. You have Lamar Jackson.
He nailed it.
Wow.
He called Lamar Jackson.
I wasn't on the show at the time, but I called Patrick Mahomes the year before as well. So
okay.
I am
right.
Two
Here
for
we
two.
Go.
I can give you the Lamar Jackson.
I didn't get, I didn't get Tom Brady before that, though.
You nailed
no,
AP
you
in 2012 as well.
I'll tell you, some of these long shots, though, come through, and we have the odds for every one of the NFL starting quarterbacks, what their odds are, including Jarrett Stidham, to win NFL MVP. So we'll do some football when we come back. It's Dale and Keefe with Wiggy, Sports Radio WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.